Well, I'm glad you're here. Happy New Year. Happy New Year to everybody. Did you have a good Christmas? Hello? Good Christmas. We did. We went down to Sandy Springs and spent time with Bonnie and Lance, our son, and his family came up, and we had a really, really good time. It was fun, and I know that you had a good time, too. And I'm wanting you to have a great new year. So, happy new year. Happy new year. Okay, good. We're going to be talking about that just a little bit. I want to tell you a story. There was this dad, and he was going to his son's Little League baseball game. And he was running late. And so he comes wheeling into the parking lot and finds this parking place. And he jumps out of his car, and he runs up to the field. And his son's playing third base. And they're still in the field, so he runs up to the fence where he can speak to his son, and he says, "What's the score?" And his boy looks at his dad and says, "It's 18-0, and they're winning." And so the dad puts his head down and shakes his head and says, well, don't get depressed. The boy looks at his dad with a real strange look and says, "Why would I get depressed? We haven't batted yet." And I'm thinking, you know, that's kind of how life's been. This year for us, it seems as though the score is 18-0, and it's been a crazy year. Judy's sister died; she had a heart attack, and then a few weeks later, my sister dies, cancer. It's been weird. It's been a depressing year, a crazy year, and I know that some of you have gone through all sorts of things as well. You've had deaths in your families. You've had sicknesses, surgeries. You've had this to happen and that to happen. You've had financial strains, occupational situations, children problems, and all kinds of things that we've prayed with you with and attempted to help you with best we could. It's been a strange year. But what I want to tell you today is you haven't batted yet. You haven't come up to bat yet. We're going to win. It may look rough right now, but we haven't batted yet. What Judy and I are praying and hoping that this year is going to roll around is that things are going to change, that the changing of the year is going to change the score. The changing of the year is going to change how life is rolling out. And I don't think that the actual numerical change of the year has anything to do with it. But I know who does have something to do with it. You see, that our God has those things under control. And we don't understand them. We can't figure them out. But I know that our God controls how life rolls out. And he controls the score. So what we're doing this year and what I want to help you do this year is I want to help us all trust in the God of hope. The God of hope. He's the one to which we can get ourselves ready to face whatever's in the future. It's through the God of hope. And so I want to read you this scripture. It's in Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. And it says, "May the God of hope fill you." What does he want to do? He wants to fill you with what? With all joy and peace. Now, that's difficult to have sometimes. When you're facing the dilemmas of life, it's difficult to come up with joy and peace. As you what, though? As you trust in him. And that's so central. To this thought and to this verse, as we trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope. I want to overflow with hope. That you may overflow with hope by the power of what? By the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, I want you to look at that. Now, this is a supernatural thing. Because there are things in life that you just can't have joy and hope and peace. I mean, in the natural, you just can't have this. But it's through the supernatural dimension and the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can experience peace and joy, and that we can have an overflowing filling of hope. But it's all linked to and dependent upon my ability to trust in God. And I want to do that. I want to be able to trust in God. And I want you to be able to trust in God. And I believe I can. And I know you can. And so this year, what I want to do is help you trust in God. I want you to help me trust in God. And as I go through things, whatever they may be in my future, I want you to tell me, Delbert, remember what you said at the end of last year. You got to trust in God. You got to work on your joy. You got to work on your peace. You got to trust in God so that by supernaturally, the Holy Spirit will come and fill you with hope. And I want to do that for you. I want to constantly remind you, and I want you to constantly remind me. And I believe we can do it. As I was pondering and thinking about what I wanted to share with you this week, I was meditating, and I was standing actually in our bathroom looking in the mirror, and I felt that the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, what did the Lord Jesus do in his most hopeless of times? And I was thinking, well, I know what he did. He got together those that he loved the most, and the score was 18 to nothing. I mean, it looked like they were losing. It looked like it was bad. The enemy was winning. He got together those that he loved, and he instituted a covenant with them, a new covenant. And he, through communion, brought hope into them. And so this is what I wanted to do today. I wanted to have communion. And through this communion, our time of communion, I want to birth and bring forth a hope in you through the Holy Spirit, supernaturally. I want us to be able to confidently go into our future. And so, just hours before Jesus was arrested and humiliated and died, we read these words that he said in the scriptures in Luke. And you know, I couldn't talk to you without talking about Luke, but in Luke 22:14, it says that when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. What did they do? They reclined at the table. Now, in just a few minutes, you could take it down for just a second. As you come today and as you kneel here at these altars, at these kneeling benches, I want you to see it as a table. And I want you to see yourself reclining with the Lord. Not just coming for a little wafer and a little cup of grape juice, but I want you to see that you're really reclining with Him, the Holy Spirit and Father God. And you're reclining in a very personal, intimate way with our Lord and our Savior. Okay, put it back up. And so they were reclined at the table. And he said unto them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. The King James Version puts that in such a dramatic way. He says, with desire I have desired to eat this with you. This was a passion of his heart. He says, I want to eat it. I eagerly desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. Jesus couldn't do anything without talking about the kingdom of God, even instituting the covenant. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. And then this next part I want you to say back to me in just a second. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. Would you say that back to me? Do this in remembrance of me. One more time with some emphasis. Do this in remembrance of me. Because I want you to see Jesus saying this. Do this. Please, do this. And when you do it, remember me. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Poured out, wasn't spilled, wasn't an accident. He poured it out on purpose for all of us. Just shortly after this, just a short time after this, the disciples experienced their most hopeless time. Their Lord was arrested, humiliated, scourged, carried across through downtown Jerusalem, taken to Golgotha. There he was executed by crucifixion. He died on that cross after pouring out his blood. He was taken down and buried dead. And all the hopes and the aspirations that the disciples had were now just nothing, an empty wish. All the plans they had, all the goals they had set, all the things they were going to do were just gone now. It was hopeless. All of them were hopeless. But because of Jesus having deposited within them through communion hope, that hope would shortly live again. And hope rose from the dead. And in us, I'm praying today that again hope will rise from the dead. That hope will come again alive in all of us because our Savior is alive. Jesus is alive, and so therefore hope is alive. We can have hope, a supernatural hope, a hope when there is no joy, where there is no peace, where there seems to be no hope. We can have it because Jesus rose and brought us hope. He says there, do this in remembrance of me. A primary element, if not the primary element, of communion is to remember him. That's all he really asks us to do when we do it. Other parts, the Apostle Paul talks about, you know, investigate your heart and do these things. But what Jesus emphasized, what Jesus talked about, he says, I want you to remember me. And when we go into remembrance mode, we have to look in the past. And as we look in the past in remembrance mode, yeah, we must see the cross. We have to remember the cross. There's nothing can overshadow the cross. But it's not only the cross that I remember. I remember all the times in my life when the score was 18-0. But somehow I rallied. Somehow I won. And I think about all the times in your lives, as I've known you all of these years, the score was 18-0, but you hadn't come to bat yet. It's 18-0 in some of us right now. But I want to tell you, you haven't come to bat yet. And I'm praying that this year, it's our turn to bat. I pray that this year, as we look into remembrance, move into remembrance mode right now. See, it's when we go into remembrance mode. It's when we remember that we can confidently move into the future. When we remember all the times that he's brought us through, hope and peace starts happening in with us, and we're filled to an overflowing of joy in our lives, and we can confidently then go into the future and take our turn at bat. We're going to win. We're going to win this thing. Every one of us are winners. Through Jesus Christ. We just hadn't got our bat yet. We're going to. Yeah, it's been a really crazy year. It has. A lot of you have gone through a lot of things. A lot of you are going through stuff right now. But I want you to remember. I want you to remember. I want you to think back. As I forced myself to do that, as I remembered him and all that he had done for me, even here. You know, though it's kind of been a crazy year here, I have seen marriages restored. I have seen physical healings miraculously come. I have seen financial miracles happen in your lives. I have seen people who were Christian become Christ followers, filled with His Holy Spirit. Having not just a knowledge of Him, but having a relationship with Him. Coming to a place in Him that they've never before experienced in Him. And as I remember that, I kind of get excited. Judy and I were talking about it. You know, yeah, numerically we wished we were better, but what preacher doesn't? You know, that's not the issue. But spiritually, our church is as good a shape, if not better shape, than it's been in a long, long, long time. There's a lot of love here. There's a lot of emotions and feelings and caring for one another here. And that's what church really is. By this may all men know that you are my disciples. By your love. one for another. There's a lot of that here. I look at my own personal life. And yeah, I went through some tragedies, but I look at my personal family. I don't know of a time when my family's done better. My children are doing great. My grandchildren are doing great and healthy. I mean, when I start thinking about that, something starts happening inside of me. I start getting some peace. I start getting some joy. I start getting this overflowing hope that I know it's going to be all right. I know that I can go into the future confidently and have confidence because I can have hope. In a minute, I'm going to have you come as you want to. It'd be good to come with your families and come. And I want you to come and recline, as it were, at the table of the Lord. And I want you to take some time. And I want you to, and if your children are in the back, then feel free when you want to come to go get them and bring them. But just take time. This is what I really want you to do, is remember. Remember the times in your life when it was 18 to nothing. And you look back, but you ended up winning. Look at those times. And as you come and as you remember, what's going to happen to you is what happened to me. Is you're going to start feeling a peace and a joy and an overflowing of hope. As we look and trust the God of hope and hook up to Him, what we're going to have is the supernatural feeling of peace and joy. We're going to experience a future. Yeah, it may be 18 to nothing, but we're coming to bat. And I pray for every one of you. Roger, I want you to remember all the times that God, when the score was 18 to nothing, but you won. Kelly, I want you to remember the God of hope has protected your children, that's blessed your life. The God of hope. We're going to trust Him. We're going to believe. We're going to get you through. You're going to win. Nancy and Jim, remember, just a couple of weeks ago, Jim, God did a miracle in your life. You remember. And Jason's going to be okay tomorrow. He may have to have heart surgery. He may have to have open heart surgery. But it's going to be all right. Because we've got a God of hope. I was thinking about so many of you. All year I've seen marriages restored. I've seen lives, people that were so sick and so ill. I've seen them come along. I've seen them come well and be able to function. Deland Parker, she's not here today. But I was just thinking about her a couple of years ago. She was in a bed. She was in a bed with a respirator, fighting for her life. The first of this year, she was nearly dysfunctional because of her body and her physical situation. But look at her today. She's functioning. She's well. She's happy. So we remember those things. Joyce and Butch, I was thinking about you guys. Guys, you've had a couple of tough years physically and those kinds of things. But look what God's done for you this year. Those babies, those beautiful children and grandchildren that you've got, remember what God's done for us. I was thinking about Debbie Dempsey. Debbie Dempsey just last week was sending out all these emails. She sends out a magazine. You think mine alone. She sends out magazines praying for her. And this little Parker was dying. But the God of hope. We remember those amazing things that God's done for us. Something starts happening inside of you. A peace, a supernatural hope, a supernatural peace and joy, and an overflowing of hope comes forth. And so as you come, we're going to have Stephen Paul and Kevin and Galen are going to be on the sides. They're going to be praying for you. If you have a prayer request, I want you to come. I want you to have communion as long as stay as long as you want. Meditate, think, thank God. Let the hope build within you. How you come with your family, come alone. That's totally up to you. But I want you to recline with the Lord. I want to serve you communion. Judy and I will be serving. So Judy, can come on up. We'll be serving you. And we just want you blessed. I want you to go out of here hopeful. I want you to confidently go forth into this next year. Because it's your turn to bat. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Father, I pray for these elements now. Well, there was a cracker and some grape juice. But Father, supernaturally, this is you. And as Terry was talking, Father, we just want to enjoy this time. We want to enjoy it. Lord, we want to be with you, recline with you. We want to be with Father and the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit in the supernatural settings. And we receive this as your body and as your blood. We covenant with you, Lord God. Lord God, we know that sometimes it seems so hopeless. But because you're alive, hope's alive. And Lord, we receive this now. We ingest this now. We become blood covenant with you. We receive your blessings now. We ask you to bless us. So be coming. Ever how you want to come. I'm not going to call you up. Just whenever you want to come, you just be coming and we'll serve you.